Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Newlat Food Full Year 2019 Financial Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Benedetta Mastrolia, Investor Relations of Newlat Food. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining today's call on Newlat Food Fiscal Year 2019 results. Joining me today to discuss our results are Angelo Mastrolia, our Chairman, Giuseppe Mastrolia, Deputy CEO and Chief Commercial Officer, Rocco Sergi, CFO, and Fabio Fazzari, Group Financial Director. Before commenting on our results, I would like to remind you that this presentation may contain specific statements that are neither reported financial results nor other historical information. Any forward-looking statements that are based on Newlat's current expectation and assumption of future events and are subject to various risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected or implied by these statements. I will now hand over to our Chairman, Angelo Mastrolia. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon to everyone. 2019 was another year of great success for the Newlat Group. We started with the IPO project, which was successfully concluded on the 29th of October. Relisting was one of the many success on the 2019. In fact, the revenue grew by 4.9% in the year, and the special product confirmed to be highest growing segment. EBITDA increased by 16.9%, and EBITDA margin reached about 8.8%, which is seeing our track to grow is with a double-digit EBITDA margin. We start with the new year in the same way. Net income increased by 73%. The improvement in the profitability was possible thanks to the greater focus on the cost and the better business mix. These results give us hope the company will be able to meet expectation to 2020 business plan, and to continue with organic and inorganic growth. We also recently announced to intend to buy the majority stake in Centrale del Latte d'Italia, which will bring our revenue up to 500 million in the short term. I'll leave Benedetta Mastrolia to continue, please.
Okay. Thank you. I will go straight to the financial highlights of 2019. We go to page three of the presentation. Okay. I would like to make a few comments here. Newlat reported good figures, which were in line with the expectations. All main figures improved compared to 2019. Consolidated revenues were 320.9 million euros, up 4.9% compared to 2018. Pro forma revenues were equal to 325.8 million euros, and these also include the contribution of the acquisition of Delverde and Newlat Deutschland. Revenues have been supported by a strong growth in dairy, pasta, and special product segments. If we only look at organic growth, the growth was equal to 1.5%. EBITDA also rose significantly versus 2018, and it reached 28.3 million euros and was up 16.9% compared to 2018 figures. Adjusted EBITDA was equal to 28.5 million euros. Net income increased the most in the period, and it reached 10.3 million euros, which was up 73.2% versus 2018 figures. Net financial position also improved significantly as it stands now a positive cash of 48.6 million euros versus 39.2 million euros negative in the pro forma figures of last year. If we exclude the IFRS 16 lease liabilities impact, net debt is equal to 66.4 million in 2019. Now we can move to page 4, where you can see revenues. As I said, revenues increased by 4.9% in last year. Cost of goods sold was equal to 81.7% and of sales, as opposed to 83.7% in 2018. This was thanks to a more efficient procurement policy of both raw materials and finished products. If we move to page 5, you have a revenue breakdown by business unit. From the figures, we can tell that the pasta remains the main business unit for Newlat. The breakdown by business unit remains substantially unchanged. The period saw a focus on the better performing segments, such as dairy and for example, and special products. Pasta grew by 8.6%, mainly thanks to the Delverde contribution, without which the revenues would have been unchanged. Milk decreased slightly by 1.2%. However, this was due to a decrease in sales price as a reflection of better procurement costs. So the actual volumes didn't decrease. Bakery remained in line with 2018 with an increase of 1%. This was due to lower promotional activity and we focused more on better mix and better products with higher marginality. Dairy products confirmed their good performance and they increased by 10.2% since last year. Special products increased thanks to price renegotiation with Kraft Heinz as well as new contracts that entered in 2019. Other products, however, remain unchanged, but I would like to point out that other products refer to products that are commercialized by Newlat and not actually produced by us. So if we go to page 6, we have revenue breakdown by distribution channel. The revenue by channel remained linear in the period, and as you can see, if we take into account both large-scale retailers and private label, around 75% of our revenues are generated in the modern trade channel, while food service only represents less than 3%. Sales related to large retailers increased by 5.9%, mainly thanks to the Verde contribution. The B2B channel sales increased thanks to more sales in the special products channel, and especially thanks to baby food. And revenues in the modern trade channel increased by 6.3% thanks to more sales of milk products and Delverde through these traditional stores. Private label increased thanks to new private label contracts, and food service remained substantially unchanged between the two periods. If we go to page 7, we have revenue breakdown by geography. Here I will make just a few quick comments. So revenue distribution among geographies remains in line with 2018. Italy remains our main market with 53.5% of share, while revenues in Germany increased thanks to more sales of dairy products. Other countries increased mostly thanks to the contribution of Delverde. Then if we go to page 8, as we said, EBITDA reached 28.3 million euros in 2019 with an EBITDA margin of 8.8%, which is a good sign that we will reach double-digit margins in the upcoming years. If we look at specific business units, bakery confirms very high margins with 16.3%. This year, we decided to focus more on value-adding products that give us better marginality. Therefore, dairy and special products also recorded better and high margins, double-digit margins in the period. Milk EBITDA margin also increased significantly, going from 5.8% to 7.8%. I am now on page 9, where you can see net profit. This is the figure that increased the most in the period. It went from 5.9 million to 10.3 million. Profitability surged to 3.2%, and this was thanks again to a better management of supply chain and better business mix contribution. Now, if you go to page 10, you have the net financial position, net debt. Here, I included a bridge all throughout the year, so you can see starting from 2018 pro forma revenues all throughout the first half 2019, 9 months 2019, and the end of year 2019. So as you can see from the numbers, we started with a negative 39.2 million And throughout the years, we have definitely improved the net debt by reaching, by the end of the year, $48.6 million positive cash. It is to be taken into account that Newlat paid $58.3 million for Newlat Deutschland and $6.5 million for Delverde in 2019. In the second diagram, on the bottom, you can see the net financial position excluding IFRS 16 lease liabilities. And as you can see, the total net financial position for the year 2019 is equal to positive cash of €66.4 million. Now, if we go to page 11, we have the optimization of net working capital and cash conversion cycle. So as you can see, these two figures improved since 2018. Cash conversion cycle improved thanks to the optimization of DSO, DPO, and DIO. And these, especially the DIO, the DSO and DIO were very important in this period. This was mainly thanks to a focus on client portfolio and strong relationships built with our key accounts as well. Inventories remain unchanged despite the increase in revenues, and payables also decreased. Net working capital is equal to $20.7 million versus $11.8 million in 2018, and this confirms again the continuation of the improving trend that's been shown in the last years. If we go to page 12, we have some highlights on our CapEx and cash generation. So total CapEx for the year 2019 was equal to 4.7 million euros. This was mainly tangible CapEx, so we invested mainly in plants and machinery and new technology. And this figure is in line with our investment strategy, investment policy. Since our company requires limited CapEx, and all the CapEx we use is mainly for machinery, as I said, and plants. Also, this very limited need for CapEx also improves and implies very good cash generation, which was equal to $23.6 million in 2019. And our cash conversion rate was equal to 83.6% versus 2018. If we go now at page 13, you can see we have just a few quick thoughts about 2020 business outlook. So our revenues, as we already mentioned in our press release, have increased by 2% and 3% in Italy and Germany, respectively, in the first 2 months of 2020. And the first 6 weeks of March recorded a good growth of 35%, about 35% in the compared to the same period in 2019. Of course, there's been a lot of pressure on the market about the COVID-19 disease, which has been spreading around the world. However, as I already mentioned, around 73% of our revenues are linked to large retailers whose sales have actually been surging in the last weeks. So we do not expect any impact on our business, and we are very confident that this trend will that we won't be impacted by this pandemic. And the very last point is about acquisitions. So as already the chairman already mentioned, we recently announced that we signed a letter of intent with Finanziaria Centrale del Latte di Torino S.p.A., which is the main shareholder of Centrale del Latte d'Italia. Centrale del Latte d'Italia is one of the major milk companies in Italy, and if the project is successful, we can actually reach revenues of around 500 million euros in the very short term. We think that this acquisition is very strategic for us, and this will also imply our commitment and our success in completing what were the guidelines of our IPO, so growing by aggregation and by mergers of other food companies. So I'm pretty much done. So with that, operator, you can open the call for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask you to use handsets when asking questions. Anyone with a question may press star and one at this time. The first question comes from Mr. David Hayes of Societe Generale. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon all, and hope you're all still keeping well. I'm going to start with three questions, if I can. I'll perhaps just quickly touch on the detail around the CLI.
Excuse me, Mr. Hayes, we don't hear you very well, sir. If you could please use the
Okay, hang on a second. Hang on a second, okay.
Is that better?
Yes. Yes, that seems better.
So thank you again. So I was going to ask three questions. The first one on the CLI transaction or potential transaction you mentioned. Can you give us any more details beyond the sales level of around 178 million euros? Specifically, is there any indication at the moment you can provide on EBITDA and the valuation of the transaction, and also what areas the business is involved in terms of geography and category exposure? That was the first question. The second one was just on the huge success in the last 2 weeks in March, a 35% growth. Just trying to understand whether that's effectively all organic. I guess Delverde is still in that number, but just trying to understand whether that's effectively organic and whether that's pasta sales particularly going up because of the hoarding of dried pasta in Europe. And then the third question was just a detailed one on the cash flow. I see that in the cash flow, PPE investment, so CapEx investment, in the cash flow is an inflow of 4.2 million. And I just wondered why that's an inflow rather than an outflow, given the CapEx spend, what the mechanics are there to make that an inflow. Thank you so much.
Okay. So, maybe if you want, I can start answering to the second question. This is Giuseppe Mastrolia. And I would like to answer to the second question. So about the organic growth that we are looking at the last 2 weeks of March, I can confirm that the trend is growing like we said. So plus 35%, and I agree that the high demand is coming for all the products that have a medium or long shelf life, of course, that are storable at home. And we are looking at it at quite all our products. So just to give you a brief example, we are increasing in terms of pasta products, first of all, because the pasta demand is increasing every day, and we are putting all our efforts to fulfill the request from current customers, and of course even a new customer, and to satisfy our customer, we used to play a fair condition. So we are serving, of course, the customers that are with us since a long time, but we are now facing new opportunities with new potential customers. And the huge capacity that our company has in terms of pasta, milk business as well is increasing because we are producing UHT milk, so with a long shelf life, even longer than the other. We have 6 months of shelf life. This is creating for us a really huge demand. About bakery as well, the demand is increasing, and I can assure that even mascarpone, that is a fresh product, but our technology guarantees 120 days of shelf life. That is compared with the other is double. So.
Maybe food also, Giuseppe, you remember?
Yes,
yeah.
But of course, all the even baby food, all the segments of our company are increasing in this period. As you as you correctly said. So, of course, what's the advantage of Newlat is the fact that we have a really strong capacity. So now we are fulfilling, I think, I want to say 99% of our requests. So that's in terms of business is increasing and the trend is confirmed. And on our side, of course, we can say that it will prolong for a while, because now I think that the demand is spreading. It starts from Europe and now it's arriving even in the US, Canada, and other far countries. So this is my answer to the question number two.
About the CLI, I'm Fabio Fazzoli. What I can tell you is that we can't share at the moment any other detail. I can remember you that CLI is generating 180 million revenues with circa 7 million of EBITDA. The company is focused on regions in which we are not present, are Tuscany, Piedmont, and Veneto. And the strategic rationale is that with the production capacity of CLI and the Newlat, could become the leader producer in terms of volumes together with the Granarolo in Italy. And as you know, the milk business is a business in which volumes are very important for to generate operate economics of scale. And we believe also that in this data that I provide to you, this 7 million circa of EBITDA, there are a lot of synergies that we can realize, and also there are a lot of inefficiencies that we could transform in positive contribution. This is all at the moment. We can't share any other detail.
Okay. So,
the next question, sir, is from Vincenzo Mangiaracina of Cartesia.
Sorry, probably there is another question that is not answered.
Okay.
Just to complete, because the third question is about the cash flow. There is a positive 4.2 million. This, to clarify, is substantially the sum of different items. We have 4.7 million of CapEx, as is reported in the press release in the comments, and this is obviously negative. We have 10 million positives, and this are related to transactions linked to the real estate. Then we have 13.3 million that are related to the conclusion of the transactions for Newlat Deutschland. And then we have a positive 1.1 million that is related to the transaction for Del Verde.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Vincenzo Maggiaracina of Cartesio. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, morning everybody. I have two questions. The first one is on CDI. You said that you reached the LOI with Torino. My question is, if you remember as the shareholder base of Centrale del Latte Italia. And the second question is, what kind of a setup of the structures you intend to follow? Thank you.
Okay.
About CLI, I can summarize you that the biggest shareholder is Finanziaria Centrale del Latte di Torino with 40%, and then there is another 7% in the end of La Via that is a company that is linked to the Artom Pozzoli family. And then we have inside as a shareholder also the Regione Toscana and Comune di Firenze. And just one second, if you need, I can give you the precise details about the stake of these two entities. In the meantime, if you can remember the second question, that was
the kind of structures that you intend to follow.
Okay, at this stage, I think that we can speak about the structure. What I can remember to you is that usually the strategy of NewLat, especially when we speak about companies that are in trouble or that need reorganizations, we don't want obviously to have a minority stake or a stake that don't allow us to apply our strategy and our restructuring. But this is all at the moment. About the precise structure, I think that we have to wait for the second phase, the offer, etc. To come back with the first question, Comune di Firenze today own 11.2% in terms of the stake in CLI. Regione Toscana through Fidi Toscana owns 6.2%. Then we have Comune di Pistoia at 4.8%, and the remaining part, around 30%, 30.6%, is owned by the market, is a free float.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Ms. Paola Carboni of Equita SIM. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, everybody. I have a few questions. The first one is about Centrale del Latte in Italia. I know they had presented a plan with a target of 9.3% EBITDA margin. I appreciate you can't go in details now on what you might be in the position to do in terms of synergies and so on, but just to understand whether do you believe this is a reasonable target. And if you can provide us a little bit more of detail on the segment breakdown of the revenues, the mix, whether there is any specific angle in this respect which can support eventually such a rebound in profitability compared to the current level. A second point is in terms of your working capital, good progress during 2019. And I was wondering whether you see further room for optimization in 2020. Another point on the current situation of the COVID-19 spread, I'm wondering whether you are seeing or you are forecasting for the incoming months any kind of impact on raw materials, either positive, for example, we're seeing a decrease in the cost of milk, or I don't know, maybe negative on wax, or just to understand whether we might be aware of any potential impact in this respect on the cost side. You gave us a very encouraging indication on the top line, but I was wondering on the cost side in this case. And very last point, instead, on the negotiations for Ozzano Taro, I'm wondering if you can give us any kind of update on the few players that you are talking with. Thank you very much.
Okay. Giuseppe, maybe you can answer the number two and number three.
No, I was more focused on the number three and four, so the negotiation and the raw materials, three and four, yes. About the raw material, we can say you that we have no, at the moment, no impact because we already had contracts and we are not facing any problem of supplying. because we already closed the purchase contract. I'm talking about, first of all, the dried, so semolina and the soft wheat for bakery products. And so on this side, we are having no problem in terms of purchasing and in terms of supply chain of the raw material to provide the production and the goods. So COVID-19 does not impact on the cost on the buying of raw material. And about the milk, we are facing now quite better offer on the raw material because most of the really, really fresh products, they are a bit decreasing in terms of sales. So we're getting a lot of contacts for getting raw material on the short contract and spot market that are decreased in compared to last month, maybe around 10-15% less, even more sometimes. So about raw material, we are facing a positive situation and not a negative situation. About the negotiation for the Ozzano-Taro plant, we can confirm what we already communicated to the market in the previous press release. We have positively completed the audit, and now we are defining the contract. Of course, despite difficulties in traveling due to the COVID-19, because we had an appointment physical with the counterpart on beginning of March, we received pressure from the counterpart to continue the definition of the contract in remote. So we can simply say that everything is confirmed.
Okay. About your question on CLI, in terms of the revenues diversification, so I would say that 40% is fresh milk and around 18% is UHT milk, but I think that I can summarize the answer saying that we see three important things strategically in this company, and the first one is about the production structure. They made in the past a lot of investments, and we see that industrially the company presents a lot of advantage also compared to some of our production sites. And in this sense, probably it's important to highlight also that they already have a production line for the plant-based dairy. That is a category that is growing double-digit in the market. Probably double-digit doesn't give you the right idea, but if you see the financial statement of CLI, you can see that this category is growing around 50% per year. And this, for us, is obviously an opportunity to diversify in a growing category. And the third situations that we believe is really very important and that could create a lot of advantages, commercial advantages, is the fact that the sourcing of this company, I'm thinking about, for example, the organic milk coming from the Mugello. This is very important also because you know that we have an important project with Kraft Heinz, with Plasmon, based on this organic milk, and we believe that this is a big opportunity for us. Don't forget that one of the source of inefficiency that we see in this company is that we are speaking about a group, CLI, but the group inside the group there are three different company which are separated in terms of strategy, in terms of operations, etc. We believe that together with our structure, so there are no reason why we can't have the same level of profitability that we have today. I don't want to say a level below our current level, but absolutely there are no reason why we can't have a level of profitability similar to the new LAT profitability.
Yes, and the brands that are owned by CLI are all. Sorry if I want to add something. Are all market leader in their area, so they have the first position in as Centrale del Latte di Torino, as Rapallo, Firenze, and Vicenza as well. So it's really good in terms of spread of our business all around the country.
And sorry, a follow-up, if I may, on that. Can you share with us, if you know, the level of exploitation and production capacity they have at the moment in their plants?
The total... Okay, one moment. So I can tell which are the categories that are matching with us that will improve our capacity. So they have UHT milk, so they have implant of UHT milk. I think that they work around, sorry, if, please the chairman correct me if I'm wrong, 20 million liters of milk every year. Am I right?
No, 25 milioni, no?
20 milioni.
No, sì, anche a little bit more, but the very important we have the Centrale del Latte d'Italia have the very good technology, and in the future our invest on the CapEx is a very minimum in the milk business. In this case, with the medium term, we want to use this plant for the producer all milk of the group, and don't invest in the old factory in Reggio Emilia in the medium term. This is a very good opportunity, and they have the different technology from our group, and I think they are very good synergy with the product, with distributors channel, because all together we have the very good presence in any very important region of Italy.
Yes.
We are the leader in Piedmont, we are very strong in Lombardia, and we are very, very, very strong in Emilia, Tuscany, Lazio, Roma, and Campania, where our band is a leader, and in the sud of Italy and in the Puglia. In this case, we had a very good opportunity to distribution on the very important city, our product, because we have the trucks, many capillary
Yes.
And in this case, we can support also with business in the pasta, in the bakery, and our product, because we have the logistics very, very good in the very important area of the big city in Italy.
Yes, and of course, they have a really good heritage in all our in all their areas. And what we can say that we will improve our capacity in terms of UHT milk, and maybe even on the baby milk in milk for babies, because the heritage of this brand are really strict with the territory. So the project could involve even some baby food products that could be added to actual portfolio of Centrale del Latte d'Italia.
We can also add something on working capital, which was one of my questions. Thanks.
About the working capital, okay. Fabio, do you want to?
Paola, I don't remember your yes. question.
Yes.
Can you summarize
me?
I have to use.
Yeah, was to understand whether you see further room for optimization in collection in cash collection time for 2020. In the cash cycle for 2020. Thanks.
I think that you have to think that in 19 we made also an acquisitions of Belverde, and usually when you do an acquisitions M&A in general, you have an impact on your working capital. I think that this year we made a good work, especially on DSO. I think that could be potentially an opportunity to have further efficiencies on inventories. But as of today, with more than 80% of cash conversion, I think that so our goal is to confirm this this capability to convert a lot of cash from the EBITDA. Obviously, could be room for further efficiency, but so if we confirm this situation, all in all, for CapEx, for working capital, etc., we are very happy because it's a very important result, in my opinion.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Gentlemen, Ms. Mastrolia, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, so thank you. So if we have answered all the questions, of course, we are available for any follow-up questions you might have, and we are at your disposal for any other requests. So thank you for joining us, and good evening.
Thank you. Good evening.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Bye.